Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement, and I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app, or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. Big congratulations, I was at a wedding a fortnight ago in Menorca of all places. My brother Gerard got married to his fiancée Celine, and I want to wish them all the very best in the future. May they have many years of happiness together. And also on the same day, Ciara Carlin got married to Keelan, and we want to wish them all the very best in the future as well. Now, later on in the programme, we will be talking about the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Festival. And also, on top of that, I paid a visit to Grills Gallery for a very unique installation in that gallery in Killorglin that I found fascinating, and I hope you find it fascinating as well. I have a lot of messages to get to as well in relation to the interview I did last week, or the week before, I should say, with Bart and Mary Reardon, who immigrated in the 50s to Chicago, and it got a massive reaction, so I will get to those messages. And hello to everyone listening to us over that side of the world as well, because I know a lot of you listen back on the podcast. It is the first Saturday of the month, so that means it's time for our monthly In Focus photography slot with Dominic Walsh. And Dominic, we have to say happy birthday to you, because it is a very big birthday. You celebrated during the week. On Tuesday, you celebrated, as they say, a birthday with a zero. Are you able to unveil what the birthday is?
Joe, I have no problem revealing my age because I don't look my age. I look years younger than what I actually am.
So they won't believe you.
They won't believe me when I tell them I'm actually turned 60 last Tuesday. But like a lot of people say, you only look from like you fell in your 50s. So I have to, you know, there's obviously something wrong. You know, I'm just a young person at heart, Joe, you know me.
Yeah, well, I have to say I agree with them because I wouldn't put you down as 60 at all. And we got a special request from two very special people in your life as well, from your wife, Anne, and son, Donald, as well. They want to wish you a very happy birthday. Now, I know we'll probably, because you're a very popular man, we'll get a lot of messages into the programme. I'll have to store them up, but very happy birthday, and I hope you're going to celebrate it in style, because the 60th is not just on the day itself. There's kind of, you can knock a month out of that, or a year.
Well, actually, I did knock a month out of it, Joe, to be honest with you, because what I did last year, I planned, my wife said, what do you want to do if you're 60? We might do something special. I said, I'll tell you what I want to do. I said, this is what I'd like to know. I said, get on a bike with a group of my friends and head around Europe on a motorcycle. And that's what we did, Joe. We did it at the start of the month. 17 of us got on motorcycles, you know, on that. And a lot of guys I grew up with, a lot of the guys I probably hadn't even met before, they were part of the group that I'm in. And we went off and had an absolute brilliant time. We were like a bunch of kids going around Europe on motorcycles like that, you know. And it was great fun.
Excellent. What was the highlight? What country?
The highlight, actually, would you believe now, was Spain in the Pyrenees in the mountains. Up there, like, it was like the Connor Pass, going around the Connor Pass, like, and there was no safety barriers, no grass margins, no nothing. Like, if you made a mistake, like, you were just going down a steep cliff like that, you know. It was absolutely amazing. What a country and what a place to be. It was absolutely fantastic. What we did was we took the ferry from Rosslare down to Bilbao, went from Bilbao across northern Spain. We went into Andorra for a couple of days around Andorra and went up through France, up to Roscoff, and back home to Cork and back to Tralee. We did close on about 3,000 kilometres in the 2 weeks we were away.
Whoa. And were you able to talk to each other? Because I know before when you called to me at the brewery, you had the headset kind of in the helmet. Do you have that? Are you able to talk to each other? Are you all
in
the same way?
Yes, some of us have. Like there's different groups, because like when there's 16 bikes, there's quite a distance between the bikes, because you have to travel at a distance. And if you notice bikes going, like, we tended to keep it quite wide because you want to make sure the car's passing and doing their things as well like that, you know. But it was absolutely great. And would you believe it? in Europe, people are extremely courteous to motorcyclists. Like when we went into junctions like that, you know, they either pulled into the right because like they were driving on the right-hand side. They'd pull in, they'd let you pass. If you came up in a dual carriageway and it was tightening up, they'd actually open up and you'd go through it. It's actually, it was a lot to say. Everybody was more considerate over there. I'm not saying that the Irish drivers are equally not as considerate or considered like that, you know, but it just shows that it was my first time abroad. My first time driving on the wrong side of the road, which they say is the right side like that. So you had to get used to everything. But what I did was, this is the one thing I learned on this. I went over to a friend of mine, Noel O'Connor and Adam's garage. And I was talking to Noel, and Noel told me he purchased a sticker for his shield on the bike. And what it is was he gave me one as well. It was a road with a green line going along the right side, and it was going around the roundabouts. So it showed you how to go along and it showed you how to enter the roundabout and go around. Now, you might think it's, sure, you get used to this. It was the best little thing I ever got for the trip.
Yeah.
So it's a tip for people going on holidays.
Yeah.
It was actually a car. You could put on a windscreen of a car or anything like that. But what it did, it was absolutely fantastic. It was in your eye line the whole time. And you were constantly thinking, oh, when I go to it, because you would get confused when you're going to roundabouts or when you're pulling out of a garage, left or right or whatever like that. You know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That's a good one, yeah. You said it was your first time abroad. I presume you meant first time abroad with the motorbike driving, like, was it?
Is that it was, yes. Yeah. My first time going, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. You're a well-travelled man. When we were in Menorca now for the wedding, yeah, it's the same. It's on the other side of the road, so you kind of have to get used to it. But I suppose when you're driving a car, the best way to kind of know is like have the passenger to the ditch side, basically to the road side or the ditch side, yeah, the wall side. So yes, yeah, that's a good way of kind of keeping it proper, but it takes a bit of getting used to. I remember the first time I went to America, I was 18, and I went to the car and I went into the driver's side, and he goes, "Are you going to drive, man?" And I was like, "No." And then I realized I was on the wrong side. But yeah, I hadn't my research done in America. So it's amazing to think.
I tell you a quick one about America. I was there in America. We went to Florida many years ago, the family, and we went off over. And I was saying to them, I was the one who was driving. I said, "Let's keep an eye on me. If I'm going to make a mistake, it's probably going to be the last day when I've relaxed and I'm ready to go home." Lo and behold, the last morning we were bringing the is a kind of a people carrier we had. We were bringing it back to the rental place where we got it, like that, you know. So off I went anyway, driving along the road, 5-lane dual carriageway on that. I said, "All those people are facing me."
Yeah.
And I went along, 5-lane dual carriageway in Florida.
My God.
Cars coming up. And I tell you something, nobody hooted their horn or anything like that. They knew that I was a foreigner and I had made a genuine mistake. And they just slowed down, the whole slowed down. And I turned around and went back up. I waved out the window and they all started flashing, waving out of the car.
Geez.
Like that, you know. So it does happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, but frightening. So, Dominic, that's we wish you all the best with the 60 years and may you have 60 more to come. And I know you squeezed the most out of life anyway, so that's the main thing. Now, let's get to a few of your photos, Dominic. As always, Dominic brings photos that he's taken during the month and for the time of year that it is. He has chosen a few wonderful pics. The first one is first day at big school for junior infants. First day at big school. And it's already a game of ups and downs. Snakes and ladders in the schoolyard made a perfect start to the adventure ahead. Students from around Kerry are starting big school this week when this was taken. And students at Ballyfinan National School, Fiery's Killarney Primary School on their first day at big school. And there's a lot of names. Will we call out the names, Dominic?
I think you can. I think they'd love to hear the names.
Okay,
in radio,
so we have Fia Byrne O'Sullivan, Cathal Delaney, Evine Flynn, Danny Fitzgerald, and then we have Lou Bomer, Dozinko, Rian O'Shea, Max Ryan, Lucan Cleary, Eric Minozzi, and class teacher. The school had 9 new junior infants start. So it's a great photo. It's actually now for people at home. And you can go on the website and go into the In Focus podcast section. And we have the link on the Facebook page as well to these photos. So Dominic's photo is from the air and it's of snakes and ladders, but there's kids on this giant snakes and ladders painting. It's absolutely fantastic, Dominic.
It's lovely. Look, when I arrived on the day and I walked into the schoolyard and I walked by this snakes and ladders, It's humongous. It's huge, like that, with 99 squares on it, like that. And the kids were running around and they were playing with it. And I said to the principal there, I said, you know what? I said, any way I could go out and maybe throw up the drone and take a picture of that? And she said, yes, we'll do it. I said, okay, so what we do is we'll just bring out the young people only and the teacher, and I'll take the shot if we can keep everybody else in the school so it's nice and safe. And even, you know, when I'm taking it, it's like it's a little bit obscure. It's not exactly that. I decided to keep the drone left of the Snakes and Ladders painting so I could shoot down. And it actually proved right in the end because I could see the faces looking up at me as well like that, you know, and that. But it's just thinking outside the box, as I always say, and making use of it. And people trust in me that I can actually go and make a pitch out of something. But the kids, they played a blinder. They played a blinder. They were absolutely fantastic.
Very good. Well, as you all know, another O'Shea brother launched his book, and that was Mark O'Shea. Mark O'Shea launched at his son, and his son Tommy arrives to be with his dad. This is a great father-son moment for Mark O'Shea and his son Tommy, and it's in black and white. It's beautifully captured. Tommy has his head just resting on the desk. His chin is resting on the desk, and you can see the O'Shea books, and Mark is showing him the cover of it. That's a moment you've captured there, Dominic.
It was actually, this was for a shoot for the Irish Examiner, and they told me to go up and get a picture of Mark. And the Examiner, they always like something a little bit different. And would you believe it? And like you at home would understand this, but I didn't create this image. This image was created for me. I took a picture of Mark with his wife Ellen and his kids. I think it was Alice and Tig and Tommy, I think, now if I can get the names right on that. And took a picture of them, and the family stepped out on that, and I was just taking a picture of Mark by himself, and of course Tommy pops up from underneath the table, the head comes around like that, you know. And I knew straight away when I see this young person just putting the head up over, that was the picture. And I captured it, took it, and into the Examiner. And lo and behold, the next day, after sending about 8 or 9 pictures, different poses, this was actually the picture they used. And funny enough, I used it. And Joe, like when I was doing, like, I'm at this, God, 40 years, and things in my profession still can go wrong. I purchased this new flash on that, and it's actually a touchscreen flash as opposed to buttons, which I was used to. So put the flash up, put it on the back of the camera and pushed it on. I went to take pictures, and I was taking my pictures away, and I looked at the camera after I'd taken the pictures, and the picture was quite underexposed. The flash hadn't come up a bit. It wasn't high enough. And what happens then in that scenario is that the camera takes the ambient light, and the ambient light in a room that's full of timber would tend to turn a kind of bit orange or purpley. So that's what I had. Now, I was able to straighten it out because I shoot my images in RAW on that, but I happened to be working. I said, it actually looks better in black and white. So that's how I flipped it to black and white today. So we're all learning, and things can go wrong for professional photographers on a shoot as well. But it went wrong, and I got the picture that I liked.
Yeah, but I reckon that's one Mark will have up in his house, because it's just capturing a beautiful moment. So Dominic, great pictures as always. Now, you do have your archive that we look at towards the end of this hour, but we'll also be looking at your photos at home that you sent in to us, and the theme was A Day in September I'll Always Remember. We'll take a break, and we'll be looking at those after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
Now, Dominic Walsh is with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot, and it's time to look at your photos. And we love the photos you send in to us and the stories to go with them. We always give you a theme, and the theme for this month was A Day in September I'll Always Remember. And very much inspired by the Carhartt Sevigne Races song by Sigison Clifford. Now, hi Joe, I hope you're keeping well. Attached is an evening photo of the amazing Atlantic at beautiful Ballybunion Beach. Kind regards, Marion Beasley. And that's a great photo, Dominic. Like, the colour of the greys in it are amazing.
It's a great picture, actually, a great picture. And I would be thinking that was taken from the men's beach and it's taken over towards the Black Rocks. You can see the Black Rocks there on that. Great place to swim, actually, when the tide's out, because there's a pool there and people go swimming it all the time on that. Great picture. I love the sky. There's no sun in it, but you actually know that the sun is there because it's coming down. It's light late in the evening. Lovely. Absolutely fantastic. It's a wide picture. Lovely to see the waves crashing in. Fabulous.
Now, Dominic, we always set a theme, and sometimes the theme is captured magnificently, which it is in this next one. Hi, Joe. Here's my contribution to In Focus, with the theme this month being a day in September I'll always remember. I've sent in a photograph of a painting I did last year. The painting comes from a photograph I took of me surprising my dad with a mushroom I picked from down our fields. The reason it resonates with me is because the first few weeks in September have always been an exciting time for picking mushrooms, especially as a child growing up on a farm in Kerry. It's comforting to know that as an adult, it's still exciting. Unfortunately, though, we found no mushrooms this year. Has anyone else? Love the show, Julie. Love it. And we should say, when it comes to picking mushrooms, know what you're picking when you're out there, because some of them can be very harmful indeed. Dominic, this is really captures the theme, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. And this is a picture actually that's very personal to me, because my father and I, when I was young, we used to go picking mushrooms in September as well.
Whoa.
On that. And just down from where I've built my house, there's an early cottle shell there. We used to walk the fields back there and pick mushrooms in them early in the morning like that, because they'd be gone later in the day like that. So it was a great picture. And it's lovely to see somebody taking a picture of a picture, because that just creates, like, when you're looking at it, and it's absolutely lovely. The hand is out, the mushroom is going out, and the gentleman is just looking at it. I'd say he's just lifting his hand to take the mushroom. And again, be careful what you pick and be careful what you eat in the mushroom side of it.
Yeah, great, great photo. In focus, Joe and Dominic, this picture was taken 2020 COVID lockdown. The beach here in Bale was blocked off, so that day the only footprints were my own, Ita Hannon. Yeah, it's really capturing a moment in time then, isn't it, Dominic?
It is lovely. Isn't there a great poem about footprints, isn't there, on the beach like that? You know, it's actually lovely. And I love this. And I love that type of pictures. Anything with the beach. Look, and you think, like, lovely sunset like that, you know. The only thing is, watch that horizon again. Try and keep those horizons straight on that. Or you can slightly, let's say, go into your cropper image and slightly angle it a little bit more on that. But it's a great image. And it's the light is very good on it.
To Joe and Dominic, the picture of the waves breaking was taken in September at sunset from Kiondihe at the mouth of the Shannon Estuary. Kiondihe, a second picture was at a time I will never forget. I was picked up from the beach. I will never forget that experience. The excitement I felt that day was amazing. Picture was taken by me as we flew over in a small plane as I looked down at Carrigafoyle Castle, Ballylongford. Hope you liked my pictures from Ita Hannon in Bale. There are some stunning photos. The photo of the waves crashing is just absolutely magnificently captured.
It is, and like you at home should go on there to the website and Facebook page and actually look at this. This is an amazing picture. The waves are crashing, but actually the waves are crashing. They're slightly curling back, and they're curling back into the sun. So the sun is like, it's got a load of spots around it, but the spots around it are actually the wave just breaking over it. It's absolutely brilliant. Like, you couldn't, no matter what you couldn't get a picture like that. And you know it's a windy day, because you can see the waves and the water's being blown off the waves at the back, and it's causing mist off the waves on that. Being on a plane, I'd love to be on a plane going on over Carrigafoyle Castle like that. It's lovely. That's a magnificent area. It's a great place to go and photograph if you're in that part of the country, North Kerry. It's lovely. And you can get it on the tide in, tide out, sunset, sunrise. It's absolutely lovely. And again, it's a lovely place to go to.
Hi, John Dominic. Attached three photos. The Red Admiral butterfly was on my window yesterday and seemed happy to be photographed. The second I captured last September at our traditional annual racing day visit to Listowel. The third is end of season look in Dingle Harbour. Thanks, Kay Fitzgerald. And again, just fits the theme perfectly. And that looks like a seine boat there in Dingle Harbour. So I don't know, are they practicing, or was it an actual regatta? But the Red Admiral is right up close as well, kind of macro photography.
Oh, it is, yes, yeah. And it's the macro photography on the butterfly is absolutely lovely. And butterflies are lovely. You can tell now this butterfly now is probably come to the end of its life. You can see the wings are a little bit tattered like that, you know, on that. And they tend to hibernate for the winter, as far as I know. Lovely picture, nice and close. Racing pictures and stuff. Absolutely lovely. Great place to go. They had a great week out there last week at the race. Like, that was absolutely fantastic. The crowds were amazing out there, and the weather was good for such a bad month before it, and to have a lovely week out there like that. Sailing boats in Dingle, I absolutely love that. It's a great picture when you look at it. You can see the rowers on a rowing boat as well, rowing out there like that, you know. And the boats are kind of almost silhouetted, the masts are silhouetted as well. It's a lovely picture. great to see a selection of pictures coming in like that and us tell a big story.
Mm. Hello, Joe. After four horrible weeks of rain and wind, brightness finally appeared and the sunset on September 19th was an amazing palette of blue and orangey red. This photo was taken with an iPhone at Canlefersey Pier with a chorus of lapwings and a solitary curlew in the background. Na bruntanas o na dúr o churan glender crí oran. Anne Heffernan, Kill Derry. And very much the present of nature is right. Beautiful photo. And a curlew. They're becoming very rare. So that's amazing. You should tell Birdwatch Ireland about that and let them know.
It is actually. It's amazing actually that they're still there on that. This, if I had to say, a picture was cropped perfectly. This picture, the cropping, this is absolutely fantastic. It's lovely. Like, you think it was done by a professional there. It's absolutely amazing. The colours of the sky, you have the mountains and you have the reflection of the water and you've got the shoreline and everything like that. And you've got the seaweed just popping up in the water. They're like black spots around the place. It's absolutely lovely. It's a very warm and refreshing photograph. It's absolutely lovely.
Explain cropping to people that mightn't have heard the term.
A cropping is what you do is you get a picture, and a picture is normally, let's say, a rectangle. But what you can do is, like what this Eve Anne has done here, is she's cut down the top and she's cut off the bottom of a bit and she's left it long and it's turned into a panoramic. It's a wide photograph, and that's what the cropping. Cropping is cutting down.
Excellent.
It's the one thing you can do to a photograph, and it's not classed as manipulating the photograph.
Hi Dominic, I'm not sure of the theme for this month, but I thought I'd have to send you this photo. This spider made his web over the last few weeks. All the bad rain and wind we got, and it's still there. It's remarkable. It's at the corner of my sister-in-law's house, where there's a lot of wind. She held up a black t-shirt behind it, and I took the photo. My ability as a photographer is very limited, as you can see, but it's in the moment, and we both thought it was very unusual. I love Joe McGill's show, and I love the way you describe the photos. Just brilliant. Evelyn Breen, in a brackets, photographer, ha-ha, Kelly's Cross, Sneem. And very clever to put the black t-shirt behind it, because I can imagine sometimes you mightn't be able to capture it that well, only if to have a kind of a background.
You would, yes. Photographing webs are very difficult. That's why you see a lot of spiders' webs photographed early in the morning when the dew is on them, because it gives them a presence on that. So putting the t-shirt behind it was absolutely fantastic. The only thing I would have done, Evelyn, there's, I probably would have, again, about the cropping, come in a little bit to cut out the lady's hand on top and cut it out there and make an exact square of the web itself, and it really looks impressive. But I think that's a big spider, I'd say, isn't it?
Like, I know, amazing. You wouldn't want to be have arachnophobia, is that what that's called? Afraid
that's
of spiders?
Exactly,
yeah, you'd be
great
fairly
picture.
Frightened.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's big, he's like a crab. No, I remember I was driving around the Glen in South Kerry there this summer, and like you said, the mist was on all these webs. It was spectacular to see on the side of the road. There was loads of them along, and it was just the way the dew had fallen on them. It was just absolutely beautiful.
I think that the most amazing web photograph I've ever seen in my life actually was taken by Don McMurray in Killarney, photographer out there, on that. He took a picture of a web like that in early morning like that, and there was these purple flowers behind it, and it was absolutely amazing what you can get out of it. I've never got a great photograph of a web. I've seen it, yes, I'm out early in the morning, but too busy to stop and see it. And it's lovely. It's amazing. The simple things can create fantastic images.
Yeah. Now, we will be looking at more of your photos, but we'll take a break and we'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney. Serving the finest seafood in a cosy, modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie. On Radio Kerry.
Dominic Walsh is with us for our monthly In Focus photography slot, and we're looking at your photos, and the theme was A Day in September I'll Always Remember. And the link for all these is on our Facebook page. You can see Dominic's photos there, but then if you click on the link, it'll bring you into the In Focus podcast section on the website, and you'll see all of your photos inside there. Good evening, Joe and Dominic. Memories last longer than dreams. Memories last longer than dreams. That's a lovely way of, lovely
amazing
phrase. Yeah. I have 2 days I will always treasure as I leave September 2020. 25. Number one, our granddaughter Cara with her mom Eileen, enjoying the sun and sea breeze before beginning infant class for the first time. The second picture, our granddaughter Clodagh celebrating her first birthday, watched closely by Cara. Best wishes to you both, Agnes. P.S. I'm sorry for late delivery. I was under the weather, Agnes O'Sullivan. Well, I hope you're over the weather now, and I hope you feel like a ray of sunshine, Agnes, and I hope you feel better. Beautiful moments captured in time, Dominic. And they're the ones, I think, the kind of, you know, markers in our life, the signposts of our lives captured. And Agnes has done a great job of that there.
See, the thing about it, Joe, is that we live in such a digital life. We take pictures like this and they end up on our phone, and we tend to forget about them then like that, you know, until you come in as a memory or something along the time. Pictures like this should be taken, printed and put up on the wall because they're just amazing. And the thing about this young person in the picture, like, she's going to grow up so fast. Even in a year or 2 years, like, she's going to be a young lady and she's going to grow. And you know, as I say, go back out to the same spot and take the picture again. If I had only one fault to say, and it's kind of a rule, or it's what professional photographers tend to say. If you're taking pictures of somebody with sunglasses, always ask them to put the sunglasses over their head, because people always like to look at eyes. Like, when you look at it, the first thing you look at when you see a picture, you always go to the eyes. It's a great picture. The crop is lovely. But go back to the same place, even every year for that year now for a couple of years, it'll be fantastic. And as I say, people don't always have to be looking at the camera to make a great picture. You've got the two young kids on the ground there. They're playing with a balloon like that, you know, and it's absolutely lovely. Another great picture as a memory. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I was wondering that because, you know, at the wedding now in Menorca, obviously there were sunglasses because we were in a sunny country.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah, like, we were kind of, we either all had them on or all had them off. You know, sometimes it was good to have everyone having sunglasses because it was like, we're out, you know, on a foreign.
Yes, and it's
country.
A nice quirky shot.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. But then, yeah, yeah, it is important to watch them. But then you'd forget they're on your head too. And I think, I don't know, I'd rather take them off my head. I think women can carry them off better on their heads than men, you know, the shades of the heads. So it
and the thing is, well, they can, yes. But, like, a point to remember, Joe, is that when you are taking a picture, if you come straight in for the picture and you've got the sunglasses on and you lift the sunglasses and then you take the picture, people could squint and they might blink and they just can't. So what you do is keep the sunglasses with you, but lift them up a couple of minutes before you take the picture so your eyes have become accustomed to the bright light.
Excellent. And this next photo, I think, is absolutely outstanding. This collection of photos. Noel O'Neill, he's some photographer. Hi, John Dominic. Here are three images taken in September 24 and 25. Reflections at Aunascall Lake Tributary, taken on Sunday, September 21st, 2025. The second one is Dingle Marathon Runners across Milltown Bridge, Dingle, on a fine September day in 2024. A fishing trawler in nice light at Dingle Harbour, taken September 24. Regards and thanks for a great show every month. I really do enjoy it and look forward to it, Noel O'Neill. I know we look forward to the photos you send in. That first one, like, they're all absolutely fantastic, to be honest, Dominic, aren't they? But the first one is just the colours and are so vivid. The marathon runner is absolutely excellent. And that last image is outstanding altogether. It's a postcard.
Well, it is. And it's a postcard. The first picture. And that's the one thing I like about getting pictures in. You can get natural colours in. Walks away better. They're absolutely lovely on that. Like the first picture and the reflection, you can tell them it's after probably rain or it's a wet day, a wet morning, something like that, you know, and the colours really pump out like that. And to see the reflections on, I think it's the river coming out of Aunascall Lakes. What is it? It's absolutely fabulous. The marathon runners, what a great location. Next time I'm doing a marathon, I do quite often, I'm going to go to that location. Thank you very much for that. It's a great place. It's a lovely, because you've got the sea coming in. You have the runners going across the bridge. You have a bit of ground, a bit of grass in the air as well. There's loads in that picture. And again, you at home, take a look. It's a panoramic. It's a wide picture. It's well cropped and it works out well. And as for the fishing boat alongside the village, it's absolutely lovely on that. And the different colours on the buildings behind. Very quickly, why do villages have different colour buildings like that, you know, on that? And the way it is, many, many years ago, the fishing trawlers would come in, they'd get the locals to paint the trawlers, all these different colours, and the leftover paint, they'd leave the locals have it. And what they would do then is the locals with the leftover paint would paint their house, the front of the house. Maybe the next boat they might come along might be a different colour. And again, they would leave that paint there and that next house would have a different colour. So that's, I think, the reason why you have so many variations of colours of houses in these marine ports around the country.
Fishing villages. That's amazing, Dominic. Never heard that before. Yeah. I tell you, you're getting wise in your old age. We should say 60s that old age, though. Before I get an avalanche of texts. Hi, Joe and Tom. Make a couple of photos for this month. The first one, cannonball a car run on a very wet evening in Killarney. The second one, yachts, Golden Hour in Dungarvan. And then the third one is a single yacht, Golden Hour in Dungarvan. Thanks, Marion McGill from Drummond. There are some cars in that cannonball run. I actually seen them passing the brewery. They're unbelievable. Lovely photos, a lovely selection of photos again from Marion Dominic.
Lovely section of photos. Joining with those cars, fabulous cars. I couldn't get in and out of them at all. I don't know how they get into them like that, but they're absolutely amazing. Great to see and draw something. They're lovely. They let people walk around the cars, let them photograph the cars. And as I say, man, don't be afraid to get in nice and close to the car, maybe do a wheel or, you know, get a picture of the alloys or something like that, or the numbers on the side, or, you know, the red cars or the lights. Like, think outside the box, moving. Take a picture. Look at your picture and say, right, what can I do a little bit different to make that, like, you know, it's a great picture. Absolutely love it on that. Oh, the Golden Hour. Great to see people making use of the Golden Hour. It's the most amazing time of the day. We have two Golden Hours. We have a Golden Hour in the morning and we have a Golden Hour in the evening. Absolutely fantastic. You really see so much on that. And you hear so much because it's quite silent. There's not a lot of cars, not a lot of things happening like that, you know. Especially in the morning, you hear the birds singing. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Great selection.
And we had a few Golden Hours during COVID, didn't we? It was like there was more, like the whole day was a Golden Hour because people used to remark on that you wouldn't hear the traffic and you could hear nature more. And I think that's even outside of taking photos, that, you know, dawn, when dawn is breaking, it's just such a beautiful time in the air. Seems so much fresher and cleaner as well. It's just lovely, and you hear the birds and everything else going on.
It is, absolutely. And I love that time in the morning. Absolutely love that time in the morning. And the thing about it is, if you go out in the morning and it's a little bit dark, you know it's going to get that little bit brighter. So you're going to head in to getting a good picture. You know the light's going to become. If you go out in the evening and you get it wrong, it's going to get darker. So it's more difficult to take it, you know. So the morning is a great time to be out there. And of course, we learned so much during COVID, like that, to appreciate the little things in life too as well.
Yeah, that's a good practical tip, actually. Yeah. Hi, Joe. I just had to send in this and it makes me smile. I just got a quick photo of Klopp enjoying one of the warm sunny days in August with sunglasses on his head. It made me smile and anyone I showed it to got a laugh out of it too. Hopefully yourself and Dominic will enjoy it. Best wishes. Charles Fitzell, you'll never walk alone. And I think Klopp is becoming more famous than yourself, Charles. I think if I mention Klopp, everyone knows that you're talking about your dog. So the sunglasses on the head, he's such a beautiful little dog. You can see he's a great personality, and he has the eyelashes and eyebrows for it as well. And we're into the base, Dominic. We were already talking about the sunglasses on the head and men and women, and we never talked about dogs and how they have it. Well, he wears it well with the sunglasses on the head.
It's a great picture. I love it. I absolutely love it, like that, you know, that there's a photographer on that actually puts animals into shirts and ties and brings them into the studio to photograph them. Great pictures all together like that. It's great what you can do with them like that. And the glasses on the forehead. And yes, stop, listen to what I was saying, like glasses on the forehead. You can see the eyes. It's great. It's absolutely lovely. I love a picture.
Now, the theme was a day in September I'll always remember, and I think this final photo really captures that. And we usually lead off with Moss Joe Brown, but we have him at the end here. We're saving the best wine for last, perhaps. A day in September, and 8th is in brackets, so that's the date, that Master Aidan Casey will remember when he got a pair of Wellingtons at the Patron in Ballyhigh. What great joy it brought to his face and his dad, Frank, when the purchase was made. Yours, Moss Joe Brown. And I think anyone from a farming background will appreciate the significance of that, of getting a new pair of wellies that are your own, that you don't maybe have to share with your siblings as often happened, that you might be wearing Wellingtons a few sizes too big. These are his own Wellingtons, and with his father. Now that is a day I'd imagine he'll remember for the rest of his life. So it's a brilliant capture. So well done, Moss Joe Brown.
Well, look, Moss Joe Brown and street photography, that's his forte, and that's what he excels at. And it's absolutely a brilliant picture like that, you know. I just like it. Dad isn't looking at the picture. Dad is looking at the wellies that he's just given to this young man, Aidan. On that, Aidan is looking towards Moss there, and it's a great picture. He's holding up the wellies. And you're correct, Joe. It is. It's a time in a life, and it's an event that the young man will remember. Dad or anybody else around might forget it, but these little things, you surprise young people, they remember occasions like this, like that, you know. And he'd walk up the town holding the wellies, as proud as punch, like that, you know. It's a great, I have to say, Moss, excellent picture, and I really like your style of photography. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, because, you know, Dominic, I'd imagine, like, usually you'd say now, maybe have them more in the centre of the photo, that they're the focus or whatever, but, like, it's kind of rules are made to be broken kind of a photo. Like, the father is in the middle, the son is off to the side, on, and to the behind the father's back is a pile, a heap of wellies with all the different clothes in the background. So it just works brilliantly.
It does, and like, and the story is really the pile of wellies in the background than the left hand side of the photograph. They're actually more important than the people themselves, because they tell a bigger story, that you went in and you rummaged through all these wellies to try and find the size that fits you and that like that. There's different colours there, there's black ones, there's blue ones, there's Dunlop ones and whatever like that. They're there like that. And behind these, you see the gillies. There's waistcoats behind that as well. And there's waterproof gear behind that. You know, there's so much. There's people walking behind it. There's cars. You know, it's on the beach in Belly High. The story you're getting out of just one image, it's just unbelievable.
Well, I tell you, Moss Joe Brown, if you ever do an exhibition, I'll be there anyway. And I know Dominic would be there as well. I think you'd have a fantastic exhibition of daily life photos. So well done to you. Now, Dominic, humour photo of the month. What have you gone for?
Humour photo. It was such easy to do. Like, you know, like Charles, your dog and the sunglasses just wins hands down. It's a fantastic picture. It brought a smile to my face. Joe and I, when we discussed this yesterday, it just brought a smile to our faces. It's great. And that we look at all the pictures, we spend time going through them, we talk about each picture like that. I give my view, Joe gives his view, and we work on that. So we do put a lot of time and effort into looking at the pictures. Great picture.
Right, well done to Klopp and to Charles for photo of the month, for a humour photo of the month. And photo of the month goes to Dominic.
The photo of the month, I think, captured, as we say, rules are made to be broken. And this was one of the pictures that broke all the rules in the thirds rule that we have on that. It was taken by Moss Joe Brown, and it's of Aidan and his dad outside in Frank, outside in Patron Day and Belly High. It's just a great picture. And you at home should take your time to look at all the pictures, because these is what you see every day out there. These are the pictures that will always stand the test of time, like when you look at them in years to come, because they're great. There's no massive work on them. There's no Photoshop them. What you see is what you get, and it's great to be able to see all these pictures.
Yeah, and it is the theme. It fits it perfectly. A day in September, I'll always remember. Being Patron Day is a day for people around Ballyhigh and the greater surrounds that remember that day every year and remember it for years, from years ago as well. So there's a lot of nostalgia as well. So well done, Moss Joe Brown, and well done to his great models in the photo as well, Frank and Aidan Casey. Now, before we go to the break, Dominic, what's the theme for next month?
The team, from it has to be something very simple, you know, and this one is the catch one. Like, it's the colours of autumn. I absolutely love this time of the year. And it goes into September, like into October, like that. This is the time to get this magnificent. Leaves are going to start changing very quickly like that, you know. The wind is going to start blowing up a bit, blowing the leaves off like that. It can be that. It can be outside your own house. You don't have to go that far on that. As we see, we got a spider's web just outside the house there as well like that. So if you're not able to go around, please take out your mobile phone or your camera and take a picture. Send it in. If you have any questions, fire them at us and we'll try and answer them. If I can't answer it on the day, I'll come back the next time and I'll have answered the question. So,
very good. Well, that's your theme, the colours of autumn. You can email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie before midday Wednesday, before the first Saturday of the month. We're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to be going back into Dominic Walsh's archive.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across the county, serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
You're listening to In Focus with renowned professional photographer Dominic Walsh, and now it's time to go into his archive. And here is his picture from the past. The Listowel Food Fair is one of Ireland's longest running food festivals, based in Listowel, County Kerry. It was established in 1995. Listowel and surrounding areas have a reputation for its lush landscapes and fertile land, making it an ideal location for the production of high quality food and beverages. And here is a collection of photos. We have Nevin Maguire, we've John B. Keane and Tracy Pickett, Joe Duffy, Dennis Brosnan, Doreena Allen. When was it taken, Dominic? The clash?
These were a selection taken. Like, I was the first photographer to photograph the food fair in 1995. and Jimmy Dean and the lads, and I think Brian McKelligan was doing the PR that time. They brought me to photograph to highlight. They wanted a national photographer in to get it into the national newspapers, and they called me, and off out I went to take it like that. So I'm there practically ever since. It's like the roads of Tralee. It's part of my life now, this stage like that, to do it. I'm there. So I have a selection of images there like that. As you said, like Dennis Brosnan's there. Like, what a gentleman. Like, I mean, like Kerry Group man that he is. Like he was there outside in Listowel, started Kerry Group in a caravan in a field, and look what it is like that. And I think they honoured him one night there as well. And like, you have Doreen Allen, another lady, talking about food. I think many a time I went on farm walks with her and, you know, couldn't keep up with her. She was walking so fast around the place like that. So a lot of them are there. And like, it's amazing. Like, Joe Duffy was actually at the food fair. You know, like, could you imagine? Like, he was there. I don't know what he was doing down there, presenting awards and things like that. So it was great. And my pal, my great pal, John B., like, what a gentleman on that. And, like, never short of a laugh, never short of a joke on that. Always had these one-liners that just set the whole room alight, you know, on that. And, of course, Tracy Pickett was there as well. And I think the night that Tracy Pickett was there, she was talking. And she was telling us about, you know, she went on all these diets to lose weight and things like that, you know. Especially when she was in the horse riding and things like that, trying to keep her weight down. And she actually went on a carrot diet on that. And she went on a carrot diet. And she was saying after a couple of days, her skin was actually turning orange. It was like an Oompa Loompa, you know, whatever like that. And so she was talking about it that night. It's great. And it's coming up again. I think it's on next month there. It's 30 years like that, you know. Like, Listowel, like, small festivals, the Writers' Week, like, the food fair, like that, you know. They've Listowel races like that. And again, like, Ballyhigh with the Pattern Day and, like, Dingle with the Dingle race, like that, you know, on that. Like, as a county, we've so much to offer, like, around the place. All these different events, like I'm sure down in South Kerry, you've Castlevine and, like, that, you have all these places, Valentia, so... We have a great county, haven't we, really, Joe?
Oh, we do, yeah. But Listowel and Dingle, they do it so well. They do festivals so well. And, you know, they take care of the kind of shoulder months as well, which is important. And that's why this food fair is important as well. So this is a collection from over the years. Is it Dominic or is it from specifically from 95?
No, it's from over the years. It starts in 95 and runs right up then as well.
Yeah,
I went in and just... put into the archive, Listowel food fair and like that, and all these pictures came up amazing. Would you believe I photographed a lady inside a bat in the middle of the square, and we were throwing water up over like that, you know. We were trying to create a quirky photograph, and we got a bat and put a bat in, and we put a lady inside the bat. She was fully clothed.
I was about to ask, Dominic.
She was on that.
So this is a Saturday morning family program, no, Dominic.
Inside in the bat, and she was holding some food and things like that, you know. And I think I had another day, I had Billy Keane and another guy outside with pots and pens, and they're belting them off each other inside in the middle of the square to make a picture out of that. And draw something. They're always thinking outside the box out there. We always come up with these great pictures like that, you know.
Excellent.
And that, like we've had bread tossing competitions to each other. We've had loads, and so it's a great little festival.
Excellent. I think the John B and Tracy one is excellent because it shows John B has obviously said something witty, and Tracy Pickett is laughing mad, and he's laughing as well. It's a great photo. Dominic, I always love when you bring in the archive photos. We'll remind people again, the theme for next month is the colours of autumn, and you can email them to jmcgill@radiokerry.ie. Dominic, a pleasure as always. Enjoy the celebrations for the rest of the year, for the big 60th. I know you'll knock plenty of value out of it, and I hope you enjoy it with your family and friends.
Oh, gee, I will, Joe. And look, and thank you for mentioning it there, Joe. I was trying to keep it all quiet, but God, you know, during the week the texts started coming, so it was out of the bag like that, Joe. But it's great. And thank you at home too for tuning in. It means a lot to us that you send in your pictures, and it creates a great show. Thanks very much.
Very good. Now, after the break, we will be talking about Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Festival, and we'll also be going to Killorglin to the Grills Gallery to see a wonderful exhibition that is taking place there. But we'll take a break. We'll have the news at 10, and I'll join you again in the next hour.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars, packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now we're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement, and 2 weeks ago I had Mary and Bart Reardon, who immigrated to Chicago in the 50s from Glimbe and are still together after all these years. And I just wanted to get at a few of the messages I didn't get to at that time. What a lovely couple. I could listen to them all day long. That came in from James. What an amazing couple, Mary and Bart. It's fascinating to listen to their journey. Well done, Joe and Radio Kerry. I'm glued to the radio this morning. Keep up the good work. And that came in from Maureen. Imelda Toomey said, Bart and Mary, very interesting couple, Joe. My family immigrated to New York in the 50s, so I can relate with them through what you said about their accent. People go abroad and they forget their Irish accent. Great show, Imelda Toomey. And Bart and Mary definitely didn't forget their Irish accent. Julie Healy said, what a wonderful programme. The Reardons were and are a good family. Lovely to hear of early Ireland, Kerry and Glenbay. Times have changed, but I see that the Mahal still works. I see it with my young crowd now, and they help each other out. From Julie, one of the shines of Ballinakilla, now Beaufort. And just another one I wanted to get to. Good morning, Joe. What a fantastic interview with the wonderful couple who have lived in the real world, and I hope they live it for a long time to come. It was such a natural and real way of life. We lived with nature and nature lived with us. God be with those days. Great show, Joe. Stephen Ilixna. And what a lovely message that was too. Now, the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest 2025 is taking place from today all the way up until next Saturday, the 11th of October. And we've spoken about this on many occasions on this programme, and it's a great series of events, and there's also a legacy to it. And it's always important that we focus on our mental health as well. And this is what the Kerry Mental Health Festival is all about. And I'm delighted to say, joined on the line to tell us more all about this, we have Tara O'Dowd, who's in EWKD West Kerry, and we have Niamh Doyle, Executive Librarian with Kerry Library, and we also have Lisa Foley, Manager with Main Valley Family Resource Centre. You're all very welcome, first of all. How are you all doing?
Hi, Joe. Thank you.
That's good. And, you know, I think this is an important question when you're talking about mental health is how are you doing? Because it's often asked, but it's almost a rhetorical question. You don't want to hear the answer. So I said I'd pause there and I'd wait. Tara, tell us about the wonderful events you've got going on for Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest.
So, first of all, thanks, Joe, for having us on to talk about the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest. As you outlined, it's starting today, Saturday, the 4th of October, and it's running through the full week until Saturday, the 11th of October. So really, the aim of the festival is really to empower people to take small, practical steps to look after their own wellbeing. It's a community-led initiative. We have a fantastic committee of local organisations and services, and it's rolled out by the HSE, Cork Kerry Community Healthcare, and through Kerry County Council, Healthy Ireland, and Healthy Kerry. The festival has been running really since 2018, and every October it's continued to grow. So far, we've over 119 events registered across the week. And we've in excess of 750 people already registered to attend, which is fantastic. The festival is really centred around or built around the five ways to wellbeing. And I know Lisa will be kind of talking further about those, but I'll just highlight them quickly. It's connect, give, take notice, keep learning and be active. I suppose some of the events that we can highlight that are taking part this year are, we have with ourselves in EWKD have 8 craft circles taking place across the county, and they range from Tralee, Ballybunion, Ballyduff, Lyra Campore, Castle Island, and it's a really wonderful way for people to connect, share skills and enjoy creativity together. We also have a Reconnecting Services Day taking place in Listowel. We also have some fantastic outdoor events. We have Gardening in a Budget taking place in Carra Sardine, and also in our beautiful Dingle in the Taoiseach Gardens, we have a wild foraging event through Transition Kerry. So there's really something there for everyone and age and every age bracket. And we'd really encourage people to have a look at the website, which is www.kerrymentalhealthandwellbeingfest.com.
Excellent. Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot happening and a lot going on. And I'm glad you gave the website, because there's so many things that you'd miss. You'd be kind of wondering, where is it or what time is it on? So that's good. Brilliant initiatives, very creative. Niamh Doyle, Executive Librarian with Kerry Library. Tell us about what you've got going on for the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest.
Thanks, Joe. Well, this morning we have two lovely mindfulness workshops with Emma Cullinan happening in Dingle and Tralee. And then during the week, our libraries will be displaying and highlighting the resources available in the library for people who want to improve or work on their mental health and well-being. We have a huge range of resources, both in-person physical books and online through our BorrowBox app and our where people can access books and audiobooks on a huge range of subjects. We also have an event here in Tralee Library on Tuesday the 7th with Denise Enright, who's a child and adolescent psychotherapist, where she'll be talking about how to support your teenager through anxiety. So for teenagers with anxiety around exams, going to school, or just dealing with social media, it'll be a really interesting talk for any parent involved in it.
That's excellent. Absolutely brilliant. And I suppose, like, we'll be talking to Lisa about this as well. It's not just about the week itself. There's a legacy to the week as well and the initiatives you do.
Yes, a lot of the events that are happening are happening throughout the year. We have extra special events put on to highlight and promote the work that has been done across the services to the family resource centres by the different organisations in the library. There's also a number of initiatives that we'll be launching this week. One of them is the We're Breastfeeding Friendly Kerry initiative, which has been launched in the Rose Hotel on Monday morning. And that initiative is to support and encourage families to breastfeed, and we're asking businesses and organizations around Kerry to join up to the campaign and to promote and make their businesses, their locations, friendly and supportive, open to breastfeeding families. So the library has been delighted to sign up for that. So if people want to go and breastfeed, that the library is a safe place to do that. So on Monday morning, there's an official launch at 10 a.m, and then there'll be an event at 11 a.m. with Audrey from Giddy Goats, which is a mom and baby play session. And if anyone wants to sign up with that, they can do so through the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest.com website.
Excellent. That's brilliant. And I'm glad to hear that. I didn't hear that it was being launched, so that's great to hear it on the programme this morning. Lisa Foley, Manager, Main Valley Family Resource Centre. Tell us about what you've got going on first.
Good morning, Joe, and greetings. We're here at Milltown Mac this morning, and we're meeting all the farmers.
Oh, very good.
With funding that we got from the Department of Agriculture.
So, excellent. Tell them I said hello.
And hello to all your listeners, Joe.
Very good. So what have you got going on for the festival or the fest?
We have a few nice events there as well, Joe, going on for the fest during the week. We have a lovely event there with Harriet McGuigan, Helping Children to Try from the Inside Out. So that's on Thursday night, and it's organised by our parent support group. I'd like also, I suppose, to highlight the event there that Niamh mentioned, the Breastfeeding Friendly. We have a breastfeeding support group here at Castlemaine Family Resource Centre every Monday morning. So we are directing all our breastfeeding moms and new moms in the area to the Rose Hotel for that event. It promises to be a wonderful event, and I'd encourage anyone to go. From the Family Resource Centre then, I suppose the organising committee are an inter-agency subgroup, so it's fantastic to be involved with the like of the HSC and TUSLA and SKDP and NEWKD to put on some of these events and to share, I suppose, the knowledge and supports that are out there in the community. Predominantly, the Family Resource Centre is involved in family support and community development, and I'm the rep representing the 14 Family Resource Centres. We're very lucky to have 14 in Kerry. And like you said, the legacy continues on after the fest, in that we're in the community, we're grassroots, we're here to provide a lot of core services, low-cost counselling, parent support groups, parent and toddler groups, and we'd invite everyone and anyone of all ages to come along. First of all, experience what we've on for the week, again, by visiting the website, Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest.com. Register there so that we know you're coming and we can be ready for you. And we're also available after the fest as well.
And that's important, I think, even, you know, when you're talking about the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest, is to know what organisations are out there. And that's part of it as well. The publicity of it gets the word out there because it's so important. Like Culture Night is one night of the year, but art goes on all year round and people are involved in art all year round. And it's the same with this. Now, the five steps, I think Tara mentioned earlier, tell us about them. I know I went through them before with John Drummy, but I think I've forgotten them. You might want to remind me.
Does Tara want to take that one?
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Go on, Tara.
So it's just really the festival is built around the five ways to wellbeing, which is connect. And I suppose that's probably, in a sense, one of the most important. It's the connection that people get through either attending one or a few events over the week. And when you see it in actually happening, people actually connecting with one another, it's fantastic. Also, it's give, take notice, keep learning, be active. They're all so important in our everyday life, really, as well as part as what goes on in the festival. And I think the number of events that are taking place, they link into those five ways to wellbeing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a real kind of a simplistic but clever way to get the message across, which I think is so important as well. There is a lot of resources I mentioned throughout the county, and they're all trying to work for the common goal. But again, I suppose, Tara, the festival, it kind of highlights what is in the county, and it kind of, I suppose, sharpens the focus as well about what is happening.
Exactly. And I think as well as that, it even gives people an opportunity to try something they mightn't have tried before. And I think it's because all the events are free, as Lisa said, people can have a look at the website, Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest.com, see if they see something of interest. And maybe it's something like a hobby or an activity that they could actually continue throughout the year.
Yeah. And where you are there, Lisa, like we did the history of Milltown there not too long ago with Owen O'Shea. And they're talking about all the people that have come back to Milltown are working there and commuting there. There's a huge population kind of explosion around there. So you must be very busy.
We're very busy, Joe. It's great to see so many new families, I suppose, descending on Milltown. And the fact that our location here in Castlemaine is en route to Tralee, we're ideally placed location wise for people to pop in. I suppose Milltown is one of the fastest growing towns in Ireland, and there's a lot of work going on there with the Town First team and the planning around, you know, the supports and services that should be in Milltown. And again, I suppose just to promote some of our own services, the Parent and Toddler Group, they were actually in Milltown in the Nagle Rice Community Hall this week, and they may be there again in the future. So touching with our family support worker there, Breda O'Donoghue. Our parent support groups then run a lovely Rainbows programme. So Helen O'Shea is running that Rainbows programme. And if there's any child out there, I'll just take this opportunity that would benefit from 9 weeks of talking and listening under the heading of separation or bereavement. We'd ask them to give Castlemaine Family Resource Centre a ring next week and talk to Helen O'Shea, and she'll be able to help them out there. And I suppose the fact that all the services are grassroots and based in their community will help all the newcomers to the five ways to well-being, being like Tara said there, to connect, to give, to take notice, keep learning and to be active.
Yep.
So we're very positive and waiting here for people to call.
Very well said. Niamh, I was thinking about the library there. I used to go into our local library in Carsevine as a child, and it was a fierce escapism. You could go in there and sit down in the corner with a book and just go into a different world, you know. And now I know there's screens and you can go into a different world that way. But it's probably like to do it the, you know, the kind of tactile way of going in and taking up a book, going into a nice space and going there and getting away from all the noise. And we mentioned anxiety. There's a lot of noise online, when, you know, on social media, whatever. It's kind of a great way to kind of, for your well-being, to go into a library and pick up a book.
Absolutely, Joe. I mean, studies have shown that reading physical books as opposed to e-books can have huge benefits to your mental health and to how you absorb the information. And like you mentioned, everywhere we go now, there's so much, it's so almost overstimulating. There's so much noise, there's so much going on. And the library really is a place where you can go in and it's mostly quiet. Saturday morning story time aside, it's generally quiet. You can sit there, you can be a mindful, read your book without being disturbed. Yeah, it's really significant a service to have locally.
Yeah, very good. Before we finish up, I'll be asking Tara where people can go again. But Lisa, do you want to give out any contacts or how people can get in touch with you? Or do they just walk in the door? Or what do you encourage?
We encourage people to walk in the door if they want to. But our number here at Castlemaine Family Resource Centre is 087-369-4169. And that's Helen, our community development worker. Or if you're looking for someone in family support, it's Breda, 087-695-3023. And we have another mobile phone, then I'm at the end of that one. It's 086-058-0019. But call in and we'll make an appointment for you. The kettle is always on the boil. And as I said, there is 30 more family resource centres dotted throughout Ireland, dotted throughout Kerry, sorry, that the community can call to.
Very good. Well, Lisa, you give a great welcome. I might call in there myself for a cup of tea sometime.
You would, Joe.
And I was just thinking, you were mentioning the mart. We were talking about rural isolation and social isolation. But the mart is a great way for farmers, you know, shoulder to shoulder, to be talking to each other. And it reduces that social isolation. It's the old fair days in a way.
Absolutely. We've been here now at the mart for the last, well, we were two Tuesdays and then today, Saturday. Just promoting that, you know, there are family resource centres. We had a great support from other members of the community in terms of selling their wares. We were very thankful to the Credit Union, Bank of Ireland, for coming along and helping us. Specsavers were there of a day where they did all the audiology tests. And I suppose something that I didn't know myself, but O'Doherty's Pharmacy in Milltown, a big shout out and a thank you to them. They actually did blood pressure checks for us.
Wow.
So... Yeah, all happening at the mart. And to be fair to Linda at the mart and Brendan, very welcoming and supportive of the local community. They're dealing with them there 2 and 3 nights a week. So up the mart.
Well said, Lisa. Tara, if people want more information on the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest 2025, where should they go?
So we'd encourage everyone to check out. There's a full programme of events on our website, which is Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest.com. Events are free and there's something for a wide range of ages on the event list. And I just recommend for people to have a look, see if they see something they'd like to or interesting, and they can register online. And I suppose just to encourage people just to have go through the events, and even if people attend one event, just to see the difference it could possibly make.
Yeah.
And I suppose ultimately the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest is about coming together as a community, celebrating what supports we have in the county and reminding each other of the small steps we can take every day to support not just our own, but each other's well-being.
Well, that's a great note to finish on. Tara O'Dowd, NEWKD West Kerry, Niamh Doyle, Executive Librarian with Kerry Library, and Lisa Foley, Manager, Main Valley Family Resource Centre. Thanks a million for coming on this morning and telling us all about the Kerry Mental Health and Wellbeing Fest 2025.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
We're going to take a break and we'll have more after this. Just 1 second. We're going to take a break and after that, we're going to be hearing the final episode of The Scale on Seanóg.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals. Available in store.
Now it's time for the final part of Scale on Seanóg, the 20-part series where we aim to discover the meaning of these wonderful Irish phrases that have been used in the Irish language for many years. Produced by Máirid Ní Bhunaithe and presented by the students of Sculvey Hill Naif and Ballinskillig, we explore a wide range of Seanóg throughout the series. To aid the students in this, we will hear from Sean O'Line, a native of Ballinskillig, and a Kintore Dúchas to discuss the real meaning behind these old Irish proverbs. This documentary is a Máirid Ní Bhunaithe production. It was funded by Cumisiún na Mban with a television licence fee.
Screen and puka lay in chefing.
Erska Akila Avarnadina.
Ahanin Kiro Kiro Ella.
Monagorhe Tusum Irochni Vinig Tisa Moore.
Garian Bert Boher.
Every day in school, we hear the teacher mention a Sean Uckle, where we see posters of them up around the classroom.
Our grandparents and parents sometimes use them in passing in conversation. Sometimes the meaning is simple and easily understood, and other times the message is a bit more complex. I want to explore how these old Irish proverbs came about and really understand the true meaning behind them.
In this series, join me and my classmate from Scovahill Naif of Ballinasgellix, County Kerry, as we explore what these old Irish sayings are all about and how they add so much to the Irish language.
Dia Yves, Ismisha Evan Nukantronic. I am in fourth class in Scovahill Naif in Ballinasgellix, County Kerry. Today I'm going to find out the real meaning behind the Shanachal Isfar Antlanta na Natanta.
Isfar Antlanta na Natanta. This is a commonly used Shanachal. Let's see if the posse from Scovahill Naif know the meaning behind it.
Slanta means health, but I'm not sure what Tanta means.
I've heard this one before. I think it translates as health is better than wealth.
It's better to be healthy than to have money.
That Shanachal is pretty easy to understand once you know the translation.
Your health is your wealth.
To explain to us all about Shanachal and to find out the real meaning behind various ones, today we are going to hear from Sean O'Line. Sean is a native of Ballinskellix and was an Irish teacher and previta in Closter Own in Dublin.
Now let's hear from our expert Sean O'Line as he explains the Shanachal Isfar Antlanta na Natanta.
Isfar Antlanta na Natanta. Right. Now, how does Gaelic mean? Tanta.
Tanta.
Severs. Severs.
One road is taught is the sail show. Not light. And this is taught the unlight. Not sickers. Can we buy a long alien?
Make a long alien to go. A long alien that mommy and his daddy make a sled here.
That would be more your fun. It down the slide. They're in perfect health. I should have down the slide of your hand in your cup. Ach. Been out. I was taught a lawn at the school. I was taught it's an hospital enough. A new one. I should try Lee. No, I'm like Lee. I was taught the mover on flogging. Most important thing in life is health. So, Shane and Far could never live. Don't be snarf. Sport to him, I was mask, I was patient, hard as long tool. If you keep doing what already, a delicate motor eating, or sit down and what dish more eating, patient, hard as long tool, patient, able to clean it, patient, able to dull it snow, patient, able to dull with the advanced gun, I was in the cone of day, needed fiber behavior. Dog in your North School, go on to university, I was paid postener, I was paid on throwing the agate. Ach, Tasha, and the Hachter. Good door of ship, Ari, don't like that you mind your health and that you don't put yourself in danger.
Aeneag a Kayla or Hogter in the Cashlon.
Koshida air gower is gower hoser.
Na bakle mak an vakig is ni vakig, mak an vakig lat.
Is far riv ma no draw yasim.
Ni ma a healter a viter.
Shanachal are a great insight into Irish culture and ways of life. Often they are profound and funny, but sometimes they leave you scratching your head. We hope you enjoyed our series on Irish proverbs. Now when you see a Shanachal written or hear them being said, you'll hopefully have a better understanding of the meaning behind them. Slán!
A And that was episode 5, the final episode, the 20th episode of the series Scale on Sean Uckle. And a big thank you goes out to Skull Vihil Nefa and Sean O'Line, who helped in that, and Maria Nivahuna produced it. We'll take a break with more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer ready meals available.
Now, during the week, I went along to the Grills Gallery in Killorglan at the invite of Robert and Lucy Carter, to their wonderful gallery, which was previously the Fishery Bar. You'd know it there on the Lone River at the bridge right at Killorglan. And they wanted me to come along to see this wonderful exhibition, a site-specific installation by Polish artist Dorota, In Search of Presence, and it's inspired by a residency she had in the Arctic. Now, Dorota creates site-specific installations that both intervene and harmonise with their surroundings, combining large-scale works on paper with charcoal drawing directly on the gallery walls. So I went along to speak to Dorota Barrowa in Killorglan. Dorota, thanks a million for welcoming me here to the Grills Gallery to see your exhibition. I suppose before we talk about the exhibition itself, and it's absolutely stunning, the installation we're in right now, tell us about your background in art. How did you get into it first day?
I started at the Academy of Fine Arts in Warsaw. My sister also started there. That's all the family background. My parents didn't have anything common with art, just an interest, yeah, especially my mom. And I stayed in Warsaw for a while, and then, to say it in a short way, I fell in love and I came over to Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, for the right reason, so you came here. And did you come directly to Kerry?
No, we lived in County Dublin for 9 years almost, and then when COVID happened, we managed to move to Kerry. Yeah, which I've been to Ireland before all this happened as a student, and I thought this country is just marvelous. But it never was for me about Dublin, but the countryside. I thought that you come to Ireland, you should live in the countryside. Yeah. So I'm very happy with the choice I made.
And does it influence your work, the countryside?
Oh, definitely. I think you can tell. Yeah. I've been interested in landscape and the connection, our connection with the landscape. For a long time, I changed the way I work very much. I am not going to go into that. But Ireland was just, very inspiring, very powerful experience. Yeah, the landscape here.
I mentioned we're in this stunning installation. Now, my words aren't going to do it justice, but it's like we're in the North Pole or somewhere, you know. We're surrounded by ice and the floor is shimmering and it's all white, vast whiteness. It's absolutely stunning. It's like we've gone to a different world. I tell you, the kids would love this. It's Christmas time, by the way. But tell us the inspiration for this. You were in the Arctic.
Yes, I was in 2023 at the Arctic Circle Residency, whereas I have to say I was working with water before and with ice. That's why I chose the Arctic the place to go. But it was, it's very very difficult to describe with words what kind of an experience it was. It was very powerful. It was like I'm not a religious person anymore. I was brought up Catholic, but it was like a spiritual experience. And when I came back, I was very puzzled, and it was very difficult. As I said, I think a few times, it was too green in this country. I think it's also the experience of kind of a desert when you can't see where the world ends, like everything blurs. We had an experience in a fog where you know, the water blended into the sky and you just didn't know what is what anymore. And that, like, you come there and you don't know anyone before. You have only your rucksack with you or your suitcase, and you have yourself and your experience. So you bring their things, and that's what your landscape reflects. I don't know how to describe it.
And is that good? What you have in you. Is that good for the head or bad for the head?
I wouldn't, I think, describe it in a good bad things. Different. It's very strong, very intense. And I had one experience in this fog when I went back and I was crying. It was so powerful. But I wouldn't say it was bad. It was just very deep, very incredible. So when I came back, I was doing the works like that before on the paper. They were smaller. But when I came back, I was thinking, I don't like this rectangular shape of them, because world is not like that, and especially the water is not rectangular. It rather falls in every direction. So in my studio, I put one of these works to the wall and I started drawing around them, and that felt just right. I should say how the works are made. They are made in a big pool of water, and I make my own paint from organic pigment, and then I move the big piece of paper through the water, so I never know what I will come up with. So there is a lot of accidents, but I've been working like that for many years now, and it's a great lesson. It teaches you many things.
Patience.
The first one. Yeah. When I realize that there are lessons in this, then I calm down about it. Okay, that's just like how life it is. Yeah. You can't predict what happened. There is nothing certain in life apart from one thing.
Yeah.
So that's how they were all made. They are pieces.
And just describe what we're looking at here, because people at home for them paint a picture.
So they are, I think, 6 works on paper in the size around 2 by 3 meters, and they are stuck to the wall or anywhere they could be. The corners are covered, and then in between them I extended the things which are on the paper with my charcoal drawings. And the charcoal I made from the branches I collected here in the town park, including elm tree, which I've learned that the elm refers to the name of the river Laun, seemingly from the old Irish. So I wanted to include that branch as well. And everything is black and white.
But you've kind of got a free rein inside here. That must be great for an artist, because like you've painted on the walls here, on the ceiling and everything, you know, and that's what makes it so unique. But that must be great freedom for you as an artist.
Yes, it is. And I didn't realize, I think, a good few years ago that that's what I really want to do. But it feels right. It's like you don't obey these rules that you have to hang it on the wall. You just want to go everywhere like. But it also creates a connection with the space, because I started seeing all these little things in the space. Yeah. And there are many of them. It's a beautiful space, I think. Also very challenging for my work, but I like the challenge very much.
And then, like, we're talking about kind of a water theme as such. We're here, like you mentioned, on the River Laun. It is pouring rain down outside. Today is Thursday, and there's a weather warning for rain. So, and then we're looking at kind of a nautical theme, because the fishery, the smokehouse behind us here with the salmon. But this is like the inside of a boat. It's like we're, you know, the boat is upside down and we're inside in it.
Well, I like that. I like that. But I also like that, you know, the gallery space is not like separated from the world outside. So when we look at the rain, I try to draw river here as well on the door, so it blends into the landscape.
Good, yeah.
Yeah,
it's running parallel. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
and on your height.
Yeah, and the floor as well is just shimmering silver.
I was dreaming about making an installation when you are submerged in it in a way. You are submerged by the drawing, and the reflective floor did that for me. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that, just that you are suspended in space. Suspended. It's a better word.
I wonder if this was here the time of the fishery bar, what would people think was in the drink when they're in here? But we're moving out here now, because you have more parts to the exhibition as well. So where are we going to go next? Is it to...
We can go there, maybe. Yeah.
So this is the River Laun.
Yes, that's the river bank, which I drew on the 2 panels, which I also liked that I drew also on the stone wall there, because, you know, you don't want to restrict the river. It connects and it breaks things too. And then I wanted to invite other people to participate in my show, because I don't want to be like an artist who comes and just shows the work. I wanted them to be part of it. And I also think there is an incredible thing in drawing, which we forget. There is an audio which you can listen to. It's my text about drawing, an invitation to draw. the river land from observation. So sit at the bank or whatever you want in whichever place, look at the river and try to capture it, which is an impossible task from the start because everything is changing all the time. But then it's an interesting thing to think about, like even when you draw something that is not moving, you have to look at it and then you have to remember it for a second to draw it on the paper. So it's all in your head.
It's an interpretation.
Yeah, you can't do it. You can't watch and draw.
Yes.
You can, but that's still not the same.
Yeah.
And it's a very meditative experience. It's also an appreciation for the river, how important it is. So.
And you have this almost the source. Well, we'll say it's coming from Killarney all the way through to where it exits into the sea as well. So that's amazing. And these are wonderful sketches, aren't they, to have? And I can see there's obviously kids drawing as well, which is brilliant as well. That's inspirational.
Yeah, but you can also see how different they are. So it's all in you, it reflects you, what you are drawing there.
Yeah.
I really don't think you have to, be skillful or study drawing. Just to try it, because we forget, like many kids draw, and then you stop doing that. It's like, oh, I can't do it. But actually, maybe you just get used to your reality. You don't want to capture it anymore.
Excellent. And what else have we here?
Here, there are presence exercises, instructions. They are inspired by the book by Johanny Palasma, The Eyes of Skin, I think that's the title. I was thinking about the experience, like visual experience, and how our world works now. Everything is very visual, just looking, and we forget that we have all other senses in us. So I was taught how to make a paper boat as a child, and it's a skill you do not forget.
Yeah.
I think there are some people who learn how to make a plane. I can't do as good plane, but I can do the boat. So I thought about three exercises, and one is to make a paper boat. The other one is to make a paper boat with closed eyes. It's a completely different experience because you don't look at the paper.
Yeah.
You have to feel it and remember where is what. And the last one is to make a paper boat without the paper and with closed eyes. And then your head is going wild, I think. And I thought that maybe to invite audience to do it, I recorded also a video where I'm doing it myself because I thought that people may be ashamed to do it.
Yeah.
So I thought they can look at me doing that.
Yeah.
The
one
with closed eyes takes the longest time because I have to think which movement I should do now. And the paper is water soluble.
Yeah.
So you can launch it on the river and it will disappear within 30 seconds.
We're looking at the screen here. So it shows the three different videos of you. They're all on the one screen. It's brilliant. And it shows you the different stages as well. Yeah, I could do the plane, all right, but I couldn't do the fancy jet one they were able to do. It was like a very basic one. I know the boat you could use as a hat as well, so it was a handy one. Water is life. Water is everything. Like, so was it always in you, like the fascination with water?
I think it started more from the landscape and slowly I arrived at the water. But I think it also combines all the interests I have. Like, I think it's natural to be interested in water because it says, you know, is the origin of life, is it from water?
Mm.
We depend on it. Like, like everything is about it if you think about it. So I came from landscape, but then there's science, everything. I love reading about it.
Yeah, and you're in a great county for it. I have to live by the water. It's just in my head. I can't, when I see, you know, people that live in that, I couldn't do that. I have to see the water. And what have we here? We've an unusual collection of stones or rocks in front of us here.
Yes, so I was preparing a show. I did this show, but there were completely different conditions in Poland, the same title, In Search of Presence. And I wanted to create a water font like you have in a church, because I was brought up Catholic, as I mentioned, but I'm not religious anymore. However, the experience in the Arctic was so spiritual that I had the idea that I will make with somebody, I'm not a sculptor, a water font, and will pour the Arctic water into it, and it will dry over the exhibition time. I brought the Arctic water from the residency. But then I was thinking, I don't really want to create an object anymore. It's like I prefer to find something instead of creating a heavy object again. And I thought that I can look for stones. And there are stones like that in Ireland. I know that there are hack stones when the hole goes through the stone, but I was looking for the one which creates kind of a vessel for the water. Mm. And that's also part of my work, because I spent hours on looking for the stones. I found them in the river Snim, in Snim, where it goes into the ocean. And then I poured water in them at home, the Arctic water, and I tried to draw. I wanted to make a picture while the water is there, to capture that.
Yes.
And the water, and the stone now only remembers the water. That's what I think. It's a memory.
Yeah. It looks like something from the Stone Age, or, you know, after the Ice Age or something. It's amazing just looking at them. And the sketches are stunning. You're really talented, I have to say. Absolutely amazing. This is yours as well, is it?
That's in collaboration with the gallery, with Lucy and Robert Carter. They made a print screen out of the fragment from this. I chose the fragment, which is mostly one-to-one scale. Mm-hmm. And they made an edition of 5 screen prints.
Yes, this is that's their expertise. Yes. But isn't that wonderful, like, that, you know, like, we're talking here, I just come to an exhibition and people just look at it, you know? But it's very much interactive, the way you work, and even you're inviting people to come and make the paper boats and be interacting with the whole thing, you know, to draw the river. But then you're collaborating as well with Lucy and Robert. That's brilliant, like, isn't it?
I really enjoyed it. I've wanted to do that for a long time, but there was no right place or a person. I didn't know who to approach. And this, I think, worked brilliantly. Yeah. But also, this place is so welcoming. I think it's really incredible. And I think the gallery places should be like that. They should be welcoming. And they are not always like that. Mm. So that's why I also wanted to have projects where you can take part, or you can leave your own drawing. Like, it's not a holy place that you can't access.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So for people listening to this and they want to come along, I'd imagine you're inviting everyone to come along. And when's the exhibition running till?
It's running till the 12th of October. And everyone is very much welcome here.
Brilliant. Thanks a million. And it was very interesting walking around here, and I'd recommend everyone to come along. It's absolutely stunning to go into that space, like you're actually in the Arctic. You've the Arctic here by the Lough in Killorglin, to come in and just experience that alone, and just, you can almost meditate inside there. Like, it's just stunning.
I love meditation, so I'm glad you're saying it. Yeah.
Well, thanks a million, and continued success, and we wish you all the best in the future. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you very much.
Yep, and I want to wish Dorota all the best of luck with that. Now, after the break, we're going to be speaking to local man Joe Brennan, who I also met at the Grills Gallery.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from on Radio Kerry.
Now, before the break, we were hearing about that wonderful installation that is in the Grills Gallery in Killorglin. But while I was there, I met Joe Brennan, who's a local man and is involved in adult education, to talk about the importance of the Grills Gallery in Killorglin.
My name is Joe Brennan. I live here in Killorglin, have done for a long time, and I work in adult education in the local ETB centre.
Joe, I was talking to you just before we started here this morning. This Grills Gallery is very important to this locality, isn't it?
This place is amazing. People of an early generation, when I came to Killorglin first, knew it as a fairly well-regarded drinking house and story house and place of a certain kind of culture, and it was fantastic then. But this is different. Physically, as you can see, it's been transformed. It's retained that old cottage look. But every few months, there's something different here, something artistically amazing. And what's great is Lucy and Robert, they're working away here. They're producing art. The doors are open. The community is welcome. Anybody wants to come in, whether you're going to spend a few hundred quid on a piece of art or you're going to just look around and be interested and intrigued, you get the same welcome. I've brought students here. They've benefited from it. My family call regularly. It's just, it's like a little art factory on the edge of Killorglin, just pumping stuff out, doing interesting things. And I think it's one of the things that makes Killorglin such a great, great town.
And you mentioned your students, you know, we were mentioning as well, I suppose, the tactile nature of the gallery as well, even the exhibition we're going to be talking about a little later on.
Yeah, so I work in adult education. People maybe come back in, they've been out for a while, they want to upskill, whatever. And there's there's a dull practical part of that. People have to get through assignments and do their computer work or whatever it is. But I think adult education is so important. It's much more than just knocking out an assignment. It's about creative thinking. It's about an approach to life. It's about developing. And when I bring our students here and they talk to Lucy and they have an experience, even if they're going, oh my God, what the hell is that? It doesn't matter. But actually, you know, that enriches, that feeds people. I think that's really important. And to have that on our own doorstep. Like, I'm from an age and generation where, like, art was not for the likes of us. I think when we were at college, we used to go to art exhibitions to steal wine. But now, you know, and I come in and I don't know what's going on and I'm confused. And sometimes I love it. But it's here. And that's a great thing. You know, when we have the Buick above the other side of town as well, but here there's something different all the time. Just, it's really great. And I like what Dorothy's doing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that River Lown is on the wall. It's a representation of the river that we love. And this particular one is just, it's so immersive. It's so dazzling. I love it.
And like we were talking when I did a documentary on artists in Kerry, it's kind of a solitary kind of pursuit, you know, you're in your gallery or whatever. It's important to have a hub like bricks and mortar like this place here, and also for it to be a space where artists can exhibit their work as well.
I think that's huge. And I think... you know, sometimes people think, oh, artists. And, you know, you come along, you meet an artist, you chat to them. I didn't know Dorothy before, now I know Dorothy. But you see their work, you meet the person, you have a human connection, and everything in Irish life especially is about those human connections. But you have the human connection, you have the artistic connection, you have a place, you have something to talk about in the pub afterwards or whatever. This hub, as you say, yeah, really important. Really, really. And it's always interesting. That's what I love about it. Always interesting.
From an economic point of view and a tourism point of view as well, the Reeks District is in this area. You know, it's doing a lot for the area. But again, this is something, it's an attraction, it's a visitor attraction for people when they come here as well.
It absolutely is. And you know, I am old enough to remember the days of the last recession when the Celtic Tiger went knees up. And where people at that time started to look and say, well, let's reevaluate. Let's look at what else is important. And people then did recognise that art, music, writing, culture, that these had a financial value as well as an artistic value in their own right. So you're right, of course. People stop here. People come and visit. People think, what a gorgeous town. They look at this stuff. They tell their friends. They come back. They also buy dinner and go to the shops and whatever. So, yeah, it's all for the good of this town. Absolutely. I love it.
Thanks for taking time to talk to me. I know you have to go back and teach your students. Okay. So thanks a million.
Cheers. God bless you. Thank you so much.
That's Joe Brennan there, and I want to thank him, and I want to thank Robert and Lucy Carter for inviting me to the wonderful Grills Gallery in Killorgan. That's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Francis is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. I'll be back again next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Because at least one day of the weekend should involve someone else doing all the cooking. Order your delicious takeaway from Quinlan's today.